This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, and it is an inside look at this team. And we have been thrilled in recent weeks to have some of these younger players, some of the draft picks. And today we are talking to Audric Estime. His first year with the Saints, drafted by Denver, spent some time with Philly, and we'll get into all that. But let's talk about Sunday. We'll go backwards. We'll go from current to backwards.
Let's do it.
At halftime, people always talk about, oh, halftime adjustments. You know, halftime's like 10 minutes. You go to the bathroom, you say hello to your position coaches, and you get back out there.
Yeah.
But in recent weeks, from Tampa all the way through, that third quarter opening drive sets the tone for the second half. Tyler was your leading rusher at halftime, 3 carries, 8 yards. You had 2 carries for 6 yards at halftime. Mm-hmm. What changes? What?
Yeah, it's just all week, Coach Kellen and our whole offense emphasized like how big the run game is going to be to win these games. And the second half, we just really gave it all we got and pounded out and stuck to that run game. And I feel like when you can play complementary football, when you have Tyler doing so well and throwing the ball, it opens up things in a run game. And everyone was just dialed in. Like, we knew we weren't playing New Orleans Saints football in the first half. And we just all locked in and we all reached our full potential in the second half.
What did it feel like for you? Because for 7 of your carries went for plus 6.
Yeah.
But and I'm not talking about the 32-yarder yet. When you kind of get those kind of – that is demoralizing to a defense.
Yeah, it feels amazing when you run the ball and you know – and the other team knows you're going to run the ball and they still can't
the
stop
best.
You.
That is like, the best.
You can see their will leaving their eyes and we just opposing our will on them. It's just amazing feeling and it's really – that's just a staple of this team and what this offense could do from here and on out in the future. And it's just amazing that we have the guys in the room to be able to execute jobs like that.
So on one of your runs, you kind of hurdled a guy.
Yeah.
And Deuce said, I wonder if he ran track, because that was a very natural hurdle. Did you?
I didn't run track. Never. Okay. I ran track when I was younger, but I didn't really compete, and I wasn't the hurdles. But I've been kind of hurdling since high school, I'm not going to lie to you.
And a while later, it was a juke of a guy and picked up extra yards.
Yep.
A while later, you had no choice. You went, all right, going to run over the guy.
Yeah.
And you got the size to do it, and
then
the 32-yarder was the speed.
Yes.
And in a nutshell, that's 4 components of a running back that are – you know, top of the list for any head coach. By the way, you know what 5th is?
What is 5th?
Pass protection.
Okay, I feel like I did that.
That may be first.
Yeah,
that may be,
100%.
That may
pass
be first.
You got to be able to protect Tyler.
First and 10 from the 32, as Deuce said, gutsy call. Pass to Juwan Johnson. Handoff, Audric Estime. Bounces to the outside. Escapes once. Still on his feet. Estime, 20, 15. Audric Estime, no flags. Takes it in from 32 yards out, and Audric Estime gets his touchdown for the Saints, his first as a New Orleans Saint. Holy cow, that bounced to the outside, but still had to break 2 tackles.
Well, number 92 is the guy that had a shot, and the safety is the one that should have made the tackle once he bounced that football outside, Mike. There's nowhere to go inside, and it was just, they didn't get a chance to wrap up.
Let me tell you, he's 5'11", 227. He runs with some power and some meanness and toughness.
So tell me about the 32-yard run.
Yeah, it was just I knew I had to make a play. I felt it coming. I didn't want to force anything, but I knew my time was coming, and I got the ball. And it was a little blurry on the front side. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to go there. And I just kept it going hole by hole, and I found a seam, and there's one man to beat. And I looked him in his eyes, and I knew he didn't want to tackle me. So I was like, oh, I'm about to score. And that's what happened. Yeah.
when you, your offensive lineman,
yeah,
and I think it was one of the tight ends, kind of looked in their periphery and saw you, mm-hmm. they're like, ah, this play didn't work.
Yeah.
This play didn't work. We, some, you know, because it, was, it wasn't supposed to get bounced outside. Oh. And then when you bounced it, man, they were just like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was, I live by it's not over till it's over. Like, I watched the film, and I even spoke to some of my family members, family and friends. They're like, yeah, I thought the play was over. But it's not over till it's over. Like I said, no one, I pride myself to make sure don't go by, go down by the first guy. And I just had to make a play. And if you look at the film, the offensive linemen still held on to their blocks. And, like, when they realized I was still up, like, the tight ends, Juwan and Mo, got on their blocks. So it was executed, but it wasn't executed the way it was written up. We just made it work.
Hey, it's whatever it takes.
Whatever
right?
it takes.
It's whatever it takes. And we will go back to kind of the journey and how you got here. But I want to say in more present in that this opportunity, most recently, because Kendre was out, not coming back. Devin, unfortunately, went out week 15, Carolina. Alvin's been just kind of, you know, bothered with just tough to come back with that, with the ankle and the knee. And so for you and Evan, you knew that you were going to have four, five, six games where this was a real opportunity. You were looking over your shoulder. You know, you haven't really had that opportunity. I mean, you played in 2024. Don't get me wrong. You've had touchdowns, for God's sakes. You had 300 plus yards. So, but in this, with this team, you must have felt like this was your real opportunity to make a difference.
Yeah, 100%. In this game, the game that we played, it's like nothing's guaranteed. It's really about the next man up. And it didn't start like 2 weeks ago when Devin got hurt. As soon as I got here, I had the mindset that, like, I'm going to be ready whenever my name and number is called. And I prepared every week. Like, I was going to be the starter that week. I was going to be that guy that week. And then I stayed ready. And like I said, you never know when someone goes down. And when those guys went down, I felt like I was ready to take over a bigger task. And it didn't just start 2 weeks ago. It started in my all season, and it started like throughout my whole life. Just had to stay ready, and I was just blessed for the opportunity.
And Kellen talked about one of the reasons that Devin Neal got so much time early was his ability and his smartness for pass protection.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's, and he said the same thing about you. I mean, if you can't, I don't care how good a runner, or if you're not, you know, they're coming at Tyler. He's a rookie. You've got to, that. You must have felt that was a way onto the field as well.
I agree 100%. Like, everyone, we're in the NFL. A lot of people can run the ball well, but, like, to separate yourself, you got to be able to take your game to the next level in that aspect. And I try to pride myself to be all-around back, and with that comes pass protection. Like, if you can't pass protect, I always taught, even in high school, if you can't protect the quarterback, you're not going to get the ball. And just Tyler is such a great guy for this team. Like, I'm a great person in general. Like, I'm willing to put my body out there to protect him, keep him safe.
Four-game winning streak. It's the first time since 2020. You can match it. Well, you get the five. Unfortunately, they in 2020 they won six.
Oh,
so you got to wait till
so
next year.
Can't do that.
you got to wait till next year. But to finish strong, to finish with five straight, to finish beating the Falcons. I don't know what you know about the rivalry. You know, just if your Deuce always tells me, if you're talking to a young guy, like, you went to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
You go, so Atlanta is USC.
Uh-huh.
And they go, ah.
So that's big time.
I get it.
Yeah, I get it now.
So, all right, Atlanta is USC.
Yep.
But it is important to finish strong.
Yeah, 100%. It's really important. Like, in this league, it's all about momentum, and I feel like we're gaining a lot of momentum, and we can keep this momentum train going in the off season. And I feel like this team is super hungry. Like, I know we're out of the playoffs, but, like, there's bigger things on the line for us as a team. Like, we're always in a battle and in a race to get better, to be a better version of ourselves than we were last week. And you throw up Atlanta in there, who is a rival game. We know it's going to be a little chippy, but this means everything to us, like, to be able to go out and finish a strong second half of the season with a win against Atlanta. That'll be amazing for us. So we got to have a great week of preparation for that.
The NFC South is just weird.
Yeah.
So you have Atlanta and the Saints both out of it.
Yeah.
Atlanta's won three straight.
Yeah.
You've won four straight. The two teams battling for the division. You split with Tampa. You swept Carolina.
Yeah.
It is just, you know, depending on what happens Saturday, I know the Saints are going to have a lot of fans because depending on what happens Saturday, they're going to want the Saints to beat Atlanta.
Yeah,
they don't want a three-way tie.
I agree. Like, that's one thing I've noticed coming here. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're in a little weird predicament. But that's the NFL for you. Like, it's a really any given Sunday. Atlanta is a good team. Like, I would not undermine them. The record doesn't show the type of team they are. So we know it's going to be a battle, but it's a great opportunity for us. And kudos to Carolina and Tampa Bay, even though we beat them. Kudos to them to get to the playoffs. Hopefully that'll be us next year.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
For sure. Take our first break. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Austin, we are talking with Saints running back Audric Estime. Back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Saints running back Audric Estime. It is an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye is the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. And I've said the word journey probably two times already, and I'll probably say it a few more times. Drafted by Denver, and strong 2024 season at 300-plus yards, some touchdowns. But get waived by Denver, immediately picked up by Philly. Denver's a crowded running back room, which it just turns out Philly's more crowded. I mean, Saquon and Tank and all those guys, and didn't stay with them long. I mean, you're a 2020 New Jersey Football Player of the Year. You're a four-star 247 recruit. At any point, and the Saints picked you up quickly on the practice squad, but this is back in October, and you'd been released now by two teams. You were, you know, a draft pick, fifth round draft pick. Did you ever question, hey, what's going on here? Or did you realize, I just got bad situations?
Yeah, I never flinch, honestly. Like, because really, I just know who I am, and I know what I'm capable of. And I know the situations I've been throughout my life and my career that I always come out on top. And it's just really, it's a preparation I put into this. Like, I know that no matter what, if the ball's not going my way, it's eventually going to pop. And It was definitely a tough couple of year and a half, I'd say, but I never put my head down, honestly. I never let the situation I was in be bigger than who I am as a person. And I was just thankful for the opportunities. Like, I was thankful for the opportunity for Sean Payne to draft me in Denver. He made my dream come true. And I was thankful for Philly being right away to pick me up and as soon as I got waived. But I never was satisfied. Like, I always felt like I was always, like, there's more for me. Like, sure. I haven't showed my full potential. I haven't shown what I actually could do. And I'm just blessed to be here. And I'm blessed for Kellen to pick me up and give me the opportunity that I have now. And I feel like I'm just starting to get in the groove. And I feel like I still haven't even shown my best yet. And it's the best is yet to come.
And it was kind of the perfect opportunity. Half this building called Denver.
Yeah.
tell me about Audric. The other half called Philly.
Yeah.
Tell me about Audric. But quite frankly, and Kellen said this last night, he said they had looked at you already in the draft. It's not like you're 9 years in the league. Yeah. They already knew about you.
Yeah.
So it was boom. Get you in here.
Yeah.
And you know, situations are what they are. But it was a kind of you must have felt immediately this house knows what they're getting.
Yeah, I agree. Especially with Sean Payton being here for all those years, you still got some of his, like, I would say, some plays. And then you have Kellen, who was in Philly last year. So it was easy. It was an easy turnaround to come here. It's kind of like a mixture of both the teams, Denver and Eagles, with its own flavor. Obviously, New Orleans has its own culture, which I've quickly learned to love. But it was definitely an easy transition coming from those teams to here.
What about system-wise? Because we Sean and Philly's kind of under new leadership because we took them. We took Kellen over here. So you had three separate systems within, you know, a couple of years.
Yeah. I try to be a guy that could adapt to any situation. Like, I had to learn three – well, I learned Denver's playbook back in – May of 2024, but I had to learn two different playbooks in the span of, what, a month. But it was just my preparation. Like, I studied the plays. As soon as I found out I was coming to New Orleans, I was in the airport looking over the offensive playbook and the film. And it kind of was a – coming to New Orleans was probably one of the easiest transitions I could have, because you had – coming from Philly, where Kellen Moore was there, they still have some of Kellen's play calls and things there. So when I'm looking at the playbook, I'm like, oh, this sounds familiar. And then you have some things from Sean's in this offense a little sprinkled in there. So I'd say it was definitely wasn't too much of a transition.
But it's hard, I would imagine. In training camp, you have all these opportunities, mm-hmm. right? But when you get to a team like you did in Philly, they're ready, they're rolling for week one.
Yeah.
And so you're on the practice squad. When you get here, they're rolling, and you know, it's harder, I would think, to make that impact on the practice squad when you don't have that camp, you don't have those reps.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That is 100% true. Like, especially having a whole off season, like OTAs and fall camp, you got reps and reps and reps and opportunities to show what you could do. But I don't know. There was something inside of me this whole time was saying, like, Aldrick, like, you're going to get your opportunity soon. I don't know when. I don't know what week. But, like, when your opportunity comes, just be ready. So I had that instilled in my head. Like, you're going to get your opportunity soon. Make sure you're prepared so you won't miss your opportunity when it comes.
Born in Atlanta. We don't get to choose where we're born. We're not going to talk about it long because you really moved to Nyack, New York quickly. Yes. So we're not. It is what it is.
To my defense, I don't remember living
right.
in Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to be born here. No, you know. So we'll go a little bit back there. I want to go to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
3 years. Didn't carry the ball much your freshman year. And people go, my gosh, what happened? Well, you're behind Kyron Williams.
Yeah.
There's a reason
for
that. So you went from 7 carries as a freshman to 156 as a sophomore to 210 and 1,300 yards as a junior, 6.4 yards in average. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming and 30 overall touchdowns, 18 touchdowns rushing as a junior. But to me, the 6.4 sticks out.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't know what running backs look at. Touchdowns, yards, but yards per average to me sticks out.
I agree. I think the yards per average shows how your efficiency, you know. I try to be efficient and productive every carry I get. It doesn't always have to be. You always want to make it a home run hit, but if you're getting 6-7 yards a pop, that's a good run game. And like you said, going back to Notre Dame, I didn't play my freshman year. I knew what I was going into. I feel like when I was a senior, I knew Kyron was there. I knew he was a really good running back. And I just looked at it as an opportunity to be able to compete with him guy and even learn from him. And I was going to Notre Dame was probably one of the best decisions I made so far in my life, one of the up there. And it really allowed me to develop and become the person I am today.
What was, and if you don't want to answer, whatever, it's, you know, it's your show. The decision not to go to Michigan State, to go to Notre Dame.
Yeah, that was, looking back at it, it was an easy decision. It's because just the values that Notre Dame has, it's such a big program where it could impact my life when I'm done playing football. The academic aspect and like the culture that they have there was one like no other. Like, it really made me become a man, and like, that's what me and my family were looking for, which school could help me develop and be the person that I wanted to be in the end goal. And we feel like we made the best decision there.
At Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman was your coach.
Yes, sir.
I read where he would use you to address the team in song. What does that mean?
In song, you said?
That's what it said. And your bio at Denver listed your – no, bio at Philly. It listed that, you know, just some of your personal traits, stuff like that. And it said Marcus Freeman had you address the team in song.
Well, I was always singing. I was a guy who would always be singing. And I remember when I first got there as a freshman, they asked me if I knew the fight song. And I completely sang the wrong fight song. And that kind of became a meme. But, like, I was always the type of guy that was always be singing in the locker room. So that's probably why they know that.
Yeah, I would imagine after that first time, as a rookie, as a freshman, you learned that fight song pretty quickly.
I did. He made sure that after every team meeting that we sang the fight song so everyone would know it.
That's singing a lot. You hear it a lot.
Yeah.
Take another quick break. This is Mike Haas. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. We are with Aldrick Estime, Saints running back. back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Mike Haas, along with Saints running back Audric Estime. In his first year with the Saints, was on the practice squad, became part of the active roster on November 5th, just had 14 carries, 94 yards, 32 yards, was the touchdown, an offense that averaged 11 yards a play in the third and fourth quarter, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. Mm-hmm. So you went to high school at St. Joseph's Regional High School. In Montvale, New Jersey. Nyack, New York is a suburb of New York City. It's about 15 miles, but it's literally right on the Hudson River.
Yep.
And Montvale, New Jersey is, as the crow flies, is not very far. And some famous people have come out of that high school. Junior Gillette, used to play here, but probably, besides what will be you, the McCourty twins. Devin and Jason, they speak wildly highly of you. You went, they have a camp there every year since 2012.
Yep.
And you must have, you know, you're 22 now.
Yeah.
So you must have gone to that camp, you know, since you were a kid.
Yep.
And ironically, I've gotten to know Charles Davis and Jason and that crew because they've had a lot of your games.
Yeah.
And they had your game Sunday.
Yeah.
And Jason was, you know, he's been waiting for this, you're right? He said, you set the standard, right? You take, you know, breaking tackles is important to you. You also have big playability. So what did you learn from those guys? And there's another person we'll talk about, but that's got to be cool to have those guys who paved the way.
Yeah.
Twins,
yep.
Who both played at Rutgers,
yep.
Who both played exactly 13 years in the NFL, one with different teams, but one with New England, to have those guys as mentors. And I know there's another mentor out there, but have those guys as mentors.
Yeah, the key thing I learned from them is that it's possible, honestly. Like, when I was a kid, all my life, I knew I wanted to be in the NFL since I was 4 years old when I started playing football. But like growing up, going to their camps every single year and being able to see them, and then they brought other NFL players to help out the camps. And I'd always used to just ask, like, how'd you make it to the NFL? How'd you get there? And it's just like seeing that it's possible, like coming from where I'm from and went to the high school where I was from. Like, I knew that if those people could do it, like, why can't I do it? But it's not going to be easy. Like, I had to put the work in. I had to take the right steps to get where I was. But it's just an honor to have those guys be such big fans of me, because I was such big fans of them growing up. And having Jason cover the game, I didn't even know he was covering the game until he texted me after. And that's just amazing, just to be able to have a full circle moment like that.
Yeah, he was gushing, and it's got to be good for him as well. And so people at home are going, did he just say four? Yes, he did say four. Your mother, Bertha, signed you up for, I don't even know what you would call it back then, Pee Wee, I hope. I don't know, four-year-olds out there. But she was a guiding light, and she is the first one to put football in your life.
Yep. Yeah, so this is all for my mother, man. I wouldn't be here without my mother, just the sacrifices she had to make her whole life to put me in position where I am right now. I know she's not here with me, but she lives forever within me. Like, she's the one person who signed me up to play football. I remember, like, I used to beg her. I remember begging her to play football because I was honestly too young to play. I think the age was 5 and I was 4, but I turned 5 in like 2 or 3 months. But they made a way to allow me to play. So I started playing football when I was 4, and ever since then, it's just been uphill from then.
You have early September, right?
Early September 6th. Yeah.
So I'm like August 29th. So I think you were close enough to the window of when they play. They're like, let's do it. Well, it worked out. Yes. It worked out. She did pass. She passed when you were 10 years old.
Yes.
Sickle cell anemia.
Yes.
And I had read where she might have been in the hospital on a Friday, but on a Saturday, she was at your game.
Yes, that's just the person she was. Like, she was sick my whole life, but I remember there was times when I was younger that, like, I didn't even notice she was sick. That's how much she hid it from us. And, like, just her work ethic, I heard stories from my aunts and my uncles, like she would be in a hospital for weeks, but she would have a big exam coming up and she's in so much pain, but she's still studying for exam.
And she was a registered nurse.
She was a registered nurse, but yeah, I feel like I get my work ethic from her. Like sometimes when I feel like quitting or I'm in a hard workout in the off season and my legs are shaking and I don't want to do this anymore, I just think about the work like that she put in, like the amount of pain she was in. She still got her stuff done, and she's just everything to me. Like I have one and only tattoo on my tricep, and it's her birthday, and that just represents that she lives on forever within me.
And the tattoo on your arm is in Roman numerals?
Yes.
Now, they play a football game every year that uses Roman numerals. Why? It's called the Super Bowl.
yeah.
Why Roman numerals?
There's nothing really specific nothing behind really. It. I just think it looked nice.
The Super Bowl story was better. Let's go with that one.
yeah. I got to start saying that from here on out.
And you take Indy before each game?
Yes.
Talk to her?
Yes, I do.
Always with you?
Always with me. I talk to her. Have her just look out for me. I talk to her and God, and have her look out for me, give me the power that day, that the power that she had her whole life, so I can go out and execute my job.
You had, we talked about the McCourtys. You were raised by your aunt and uncle, and yep. It was your guardians, and your godfather,
yep.
Terrence Fidet.
Yes.
So he's older. You're 22. He's 34. So he was the perfect kind of role model, not to mention played 4 years in the NFL.
Yep.
So he played in 14, 15, 16, and 17 with Miami, defensive end. And so you'd have been about 11, 12, 13, 14.
Yep.
And you talk about your impressionable years.
Yeah.
That must have been amazing to have that as your godfather and cousin.
Man, I remember saying that Jason and Devin show that it's possible, but when you have some guy that you grew up in the same exact house as him make it, then you really start to open your eyes and start thinking that it's possible. And at that point, I didn't think anymore. I knew it was possible. Like if I did everything I needed to do, I knew I was gonna make it to the NFL. And just Terrence, he just done so much for me in my life. Like put football aside, he's just a great role model. Right now, he's a great father to his two kids, and like, he just always had my back no matter what. And just being growing up, going to his college games and then going to his NFL games when they would come to MetLife, we made a couple of trips out to Miami, Hard Rock Stadium to play. Like, he was the biggest role model in my life. Like, seeing him do it, live his dream, really made me open my eyes and make me basically say, like, I want to live this life when I'm older.
He went to Nyack High School. You went to St. Joseph's, not far away, but he would be in the stands at St. Joseph at your games, right?
Yep.
It's like having a coach in the stands, right? I think the statute of limitations is up on this, so we can talk about it freely. He would text you.
Yes.
During the game.
Yeah, like he's such a I would say he's like not a coach, obviously, but he after even every game now, he texts me like what you did well and what you did wrong. Like he critiques me.
Well, he sees it from a defensive end side,
he
right?
He does.
That's unique.
Yeah, he has that mind that it's like not a lot of people in my family would be able to do. And like my senior year of high school, he was at every single, I think that was his last year, his first year retired in the NFL. He was at every single game and he would tell me after the game what I need to work on, and he would tell me before the game like watch out for this, all that stuff. So having him part of my and my football career as a whole is just amazing, and I'm so blessed and fortunate to have him.
Obviously you stay in close contact. Who was your first call after Sunday?
I'd say probably my aunt was my aunt and uncles were who I spoke to first. I said my aunt, uncle, and Tance were the first people I spoke to.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Some news of the day before we get back to our conversation with Saints running back Audric Estime, as the NFL announced the 15 modern era players who are the finalists for the 2026 Pro Football Hall of Fame. And not surprisingly, some strong local flavor into the final 15 and hopefully destined for Canton. Drew Brees, in his first year of eligibility, is in the top 15 finalists, as is the man who blocked and protected him at guard, Jari Evans, now a Saints assistant offensive line coach. And a couple of New Orleans natives on this amazing list as well. Reggie Wayne of John Arrett High School is in the final 15. The wide receiver played 14 years in the NFL, all with the Indianapolis Colts, making 6 Pro Bowls and 3 All-Pro teams. Reggie caught 76 touchdown passes from Hall of Fame quarterback Newman's Peyton Manning, while the two were in Indy and one of the great all-time duos. And finally, Peyton's younger brother Eli Manning is in the top 15 and a finalist for the second time. Eli is one of 6 NFL players ever to earn multiple Super Bowl MVP awards. The class of 2026 will be announced publicly on Thursday, February 5th, as part of Super Bowl week and the NFL Honors Awards in San Francisco. And with that, when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Saints running back Audric Estime, just 6 yards shy Sunday in Nashville of being the first 100-yard back for the Saints in a game this season, with still Atlanta on the horizon. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye is the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, and we are talking with Audric Estime, Saints running back, and a huge game on Sunday against Tennessee, and having a running game makes a huge, huge difference. And we talked briefly about the football camp that the McCourties do, and one of their passions and one of their causes is sickle cell.
Yeah.
And so that, I don't know if that, if I don't know what they have been through, but that must be another edge and for you with them and connection with you.
Yeah. I think they had a family member that dealt with that too, but that just really shows that, like, I'm not out there alone. I'm not by myself, because sickle cell, it's like a known disease, but it's not like as known as like cancer, obviously. But that's something that I'm just blessed that it's getting light's getting shed on it, and that just inspires me to be able to keep on doing what they're doing to be able to shed light on that disease, because it definitely impacted my life a lot, and I know there's other people out there whose lives impact, and I just want to be someone to help them.
Is that something that you are doing for yourself? As far, I always give, you know, I say not rookies, but the younger guys on the team a chance to kind of talk about whatever foundation you're working with, whatever, what's your cause, so to speak?
Yeah, so for the My Claws, My Cleats, the last few years, I worked with a sickle cell organization. And I'm still early on in my career. Like, I have a lot of plans. Like, I'm going to work on this offseason, and it's definitely to help foundations and maybe open my own foundation with sickle cell to be able to shed light on it.
The game Sunday, you were in on 41 of the 54 plays. That tells me a lot, whether it's a pass play or a run play. That's the confidence that they have in you in this system.
Yeah, I'm just blessed for Coach Kellen and Coach Joel to entrust me to be out there, especially in crunch time. Like, that whole game, I felt like we were in a tight situation, and them entrusting in my abilities to be able to go out there, help this team win, means a lot. And that's really what I dreamed of my whole life. Like, I didn't want to be the type of guy just to go out there on a goal line and punch it in. I wanted to be a guy who could do it all, who can go the distance, who can run routes off the backfield, could pick up blocks, and I believe I'm getting the opportunity to show that.
Receiving as well. Where does receiving kind of come into it for you?
It's right up there with everything else. I know pass pros, I'd say one, you got to protect the quarterback. You got to be able to have him get the ball off. But you got to throw, you got to be able to mix it up. Like, you can't be confined in a box that, like, when Audric's in the game, you know it's going to be in a run. I want to be a guy who keeps defenses on their toes. And I want to be able to guy who can affect the game in all different ways. And I say pass being able to go out and run routes is definitely a big part.
This offensive line was not the offensive line that we left camp with, and they probably do not get the recognition they deserve. Luke Fortner, first off, the fumble that he got you know, in that first possession was a truly phenomenal athletic play.
Yeah.
But he just kind of reached down and went freesh with one hand.
Yep,
right? I'm like, you know, most centers are just going to jump on that ball.
Yeah.
And he went zoop and swooped it. And Ray Dins, you know, obviously coming back to play against his old team. William Sherman wasn't even on this team. The tackles, gosh, good gosh. But being the running back and you run behind these guys and so it's all new to you too, but I would think that those guys you probably are not getting the recognition they deserve for doing what they're doing against, hey, William, guess what? You get to go against Jeffrey Simmons. Go get him.
Yeah, that's a tough job. But those guys are doing a great job, man. Like, I want to be able to tell like that those were, because I came in relatively new too. I want to be able to tell like those weren't the main guys who started day one, but shout out to Luke and all those guys. Sherman, I was with Sherman in Denver last year, so I have a little relationship with him. But they're doing an amazing job, and they're the staple of this thing. They're the ones that get us going, and I'm so blessed to have them and be able to grow with them, honestly.
Third and 9 from the 19. Shucks in the shotgun, 2 receivers to his right. Titans bring 4. Shuck throws for the end zone, looking for Olave. Touchdown! Chris Olave in the corner of the end zone on the far side. A 19-yard strike. Just popped it right into that basket, and Olave hauled it in for his 9th receiving touchdown.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yes.
Same route last week. Slot fade. Slot fade.
A little better coverage, but not for that pass.
It's the same route. All we did was change formations.
Second and goal from the 10. Shuck takes it out of the shotgun, throwing to the end zone. Up high for Kevin Austin, who brings it down for the touchdown on the left side of the end zone. Whoa, a little back shoulder. Kevin Austin goes up to bring it down, and a touchdown to the Saints are a point after away from taking their first lead of the game.
You've been able to see the progression of Tyler Shuck.
Yes.
You know, gets thrown to the Wolves, you know, week 9 at LA.
Yeah.
And then, but since then, you know, it's been a gradual thing. I guess from your perspective, you just tell me what you've seen of this evolution.
Yeah, Tyler's a dog. That kind of summarizes it. Like, you see the bruises on his body and the hits that he takes, and he's still able to stand in that pocket and deliver. And like, he's so mature for his experience. Like, I know he's a rookie, and I think he didn't even start the whole year. I think he started.
No, I started.
Like,
yeah, that was his
6 weeks ago, a couple weeks ago.
But week 9 start at LA.
Yeah,
he played in the second half of the week 8 Tampa game, but his first start was in SoFi against the Rams, and at that time the Rams, they were not the team that lost to Atlanta last night.
They were rolling, but like, I honestly wouldn't even be able to tell. Like, I would think that he's been starting for the past 3 years. That's how poised he's back there. And like I said before, early on in this podcast, I said he's a great person. Like, he's one of those guys that you would run into a brick wall for, and he's one of those guys that you would put your whole body out to protect. And I feel like that's what you need in a quarterback to lead this team.
You ever met a guy like Taysom Hill?
I've never. He's like a... He's a do-it-all guy. I don't think anyone in the NFL has seen a guy like him. But shout out to him, too. Like, he's a, year 9, year 10. And just to see his process, what he does to be able to perform at a high level at this age and years in his career is just amazing to see. And he's a great guy to learn from, too.
All right, take our final break. Just got one more coming. We're with Audric Estime, Mike Hostetz. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Hawson on the Saints running back Audric Estime. One game to go, Atlanta. Saints have actually played pretty well in Atlanta. It's always a great rivalry. They won in week 12. I've struggled about how to ask this question, but you're one of the there's not a lot of them out there this young that have played for Sean Payton and Kellen Moore as head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know them both. I don't know if they could be farther apart from kind of their personality and how they kind of go about things. I mean, both very, you know, offensive geniuses, give them that.
Yep.
But they're just different cats.
100%. Yeah, they're all very different.
I'm not trying to get you in trouble.
No,
don't get me wrong.
No.
But they're just different how they attack it and how
and their approach.
Their approach is just different.
It's definitely different. I'm coming from Denver last year. Sean was more like, get on you guy. He's I seen him rip a couple of guys a couple of times. But Kellen is more of like a laid back, more of a steady headed guy. But I feel like they both had their success in their own ways. And that's just life. You get a whole different character, you get a bunch of characters, and you got to be able to manage them both. But they're, like you said, they're both great offensive minds, and being an offensive guy is just a blessing to be able to learn from both of them.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. I understand. to have to talk about both of your head coaches. So we'll spend just the final few minutes. I don't know, what did you know about New Orleans? Had you been here before? What was your history?
Nope, didn't know anything about New Orleans. The only thing I knew is I heard they had good food, they liked to dance and music, like a little jazz club, jazz music, and all those things like that. I don't really know much about it. Like, I'm more of a Northeast guy. Being in Denver was my first time really being out west. I was in the Midwest for college, but never been down south, and it's my first time, and I love it, honestly.
If it's a Tuesday and you weren't in here talking to me, and it's a day off, what's Aldrich do? What's fun for you? What's your time off?
I'd probably be relaxing. I'll take care of my body, but I'm a guy who loves trying new restaurants. Like, I'd probably try out a new restaurant. I probably am going to try out a new restaurant later tonight for dinner. But that's one thing about being in the South in New Orleans. You have a bunch of options and a great seasoning. And that's what I like. But I'm looking forward to that.
Obviously, when you got here, you had the opportunity to try some new foods.
Yep.
Crawfish.
I haven't tried that yet, though. I heard we're not in crawfish
season.
Well,
you're right. No. You came late. You came in October. I'm sorry. Yeah. My apologies. So this spring, you're going to be introduced, and I say spring soon, you're going to be introduced to, well, first, king cake is coming up really soon.
Okay.
And you don't want to get the baby. If you get the baby and the king cake, it means you got to buy the next king cake.
Oh, okay.
But you got to be, and there's not a problem, but you got to be honest. If you get the baby, you got to tell people you get the baby.
Okay.
All right?
I got you.
You're going to see enough king cakes to make you want to, oh my gosh.
Okay.
And then crawfish come. Gumbos are right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
has
there kind of been any? You're right. I forget. You came in October, so yeah. I don't know if there's been anything that kind of has stood out from you from a unique food standpoint.
What stood out? Nothing really yet. Like, I'm looking forward to trying all that stuff in the springtime. But shout out to our chefs here. Like, our chefs here are amazing. Like, the food we have in the cafeteria is amazing. But something that's besides food that I love about here is that it was like 72 degrees on Christmas. Like, that's unheard of. Like, being from Denver and then in South Bend in college and growing up in New York my whole life, it's always snowing on Christmas and like 20 degrees. But it being sunny and 72 degrees is amazing.
Oh, Aldrich, I hate to do this to you. When May comes and June comes and July comes and August comes and you're in full pads out on that field, you are going to – a New Orleans summer is unique.
I heard the stories already.
It's unique. You're right. We do get a Christmas at 72 sometime in, but today it's 35.
Yeah, it's weird.
Right?
It's weird.
But the summers you have to acclimate. And I've been here 30, almost 40 years, and – I don't know that you acclimate, but just there's a reason we go out to California.
Yeah.
It worked out pretty good. So.
Yeah, it has. But
summers are tough, dude.
I'll stay hydrated. I think I'll be ready for it.
Hey, congratulations. Continued success. I knew this was going to be a fun interview just because I knew the journey, and I appreciate the journey more than anything else. Nothing's been easy. You get your grit, your resilience from your mom, from Terrence, from your aunt, your uncle, from hardship.
Yep.
And you, instead of turning that into grief, you turn it into opportunity.
Yep.
And so continued success.
Will do. I appreciate you for having me on today.
Thank you. That is our show for tonight. Still a lot on the line in the final week of the NFL regular season. Carolina and Tampa play on Saturday afternoon for the NFC South title in the fourth seed. If Carolina wins, they take the NFC South. Period. End of story. If Tampa wins over Carolina, a little more complicated. And then the Saints-Falcons game, both of whom are out of the playoff picture, will be the deciding factor on who wins the NFC South. Saints and Falcons, noon on Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern in Atlanta if you are coming over, and I hope you do. The Saints looking to finish the season on a 5-game winning streak and finish at 7-10. The up-and-down Falcons have won 3 straight themselves, so the 2 teams out of contention are playing the best football. Time will tell. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth tonight and to Saints running back Aldrich Estime, Doug Miller, Davis Friend, and Justin Massione with the Saints for making it happen. We will look for you next week and our season finale after the Saints beat the Falcons here on the Bullseye Saints Hour. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Happy New Year, everyone.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.